Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Wednesday, November the 18th. Draft day is finally upon us. You remember, draft used to be in June. Well, actually, the pandemic kind of pushed it back. It would have been in June, and then we had they shut down the season, basically. And then they continued it. We had the bubble, the whole nine. So today is draft day. But it's weird. Like, I really don't want to talk about that today. I don't. I know it's crazy. I know that this is the draft. But I really, really don't want to talk about it. I mean, I may talk about it in the third segment. But in the first two segments, I really want to talk about James Harden, right? Now, for some of you guys who don't know, my name is Keith Pompey. I'm the 76ers beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. This podcast, Locked On 76ers, comes to you 3 to 5 days a week in the offseason and 5 days a week during the season. If you can just relax for a second, and I feel sorry. My dog is barking. Don't ask me why, but the dog is barking. I think what the dog is trying to do is it's trying to wake my daughter up. But my daughter's acting like she's sleeping, right? So the dog is barking. Hopefully, she'll wake up in a couple seconds and the dog will stop barking. But anyway, to get back to this thing, I just really want to talk about Harden, right? So we'll do that the first two segments, and then we'll talk a little bit about the draft, the third one. I'm sorry. Now, the thing that comes to my mind with James Harden, I've written this in the Inquirer, and a lot of other people have been writing about this, is that James Harden would be a huge upgrade for the Sixers, right? And meaning, right now you look at teams like the Milwaukee Bucks, who just got Jrue Holiday. You hear of the Brooklyn Nets, who have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant's going to play this year. He was injured last year, so he didn't play. You see the moves that the Boston Celtics could make, the cap space the Celtics have available, and the Miami Heat, and then if Toronto brings all those guys back. As good as Daryl Morey is as a president of basketball operations, as an executive, as good as future Hall of Fame coach Doc Rivers is, right, and his staff, you look at the 76ers roster and the pieces just don't fit. So we already established that. Everybody talked about that. And in order for you to get back in the conversation, you have to go out there and trade for a guy like James Harden. I know some people say they don't like his style of play. They don't like the ISO ball. Some people say that's not basketball. It's just him getting stats. Okay, I get it. I understand all that. But in order for you to get back in the conversation, you need to get a guy like this. This is a perennial, not all-star, but first-team all-NBA player, right? Perennial, right? And then when you look at, evaluate him, you have to evaluate him, what he did before Mike D'Antoni came to the Houston Rockets and enabled him to just spread the floor and do what he wants. So you got to look at all that. Now, I think, in my opinion, the Sixers need to go out and get James. Now, here's the thing I'm going to say. The Sixers need to take their time. Right now, James wants to go to Brooklyn. I get that. Brooklyn came up from what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, is they have a package of Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, and Taron Prince. These guys are four great players I like. I think LeVert is going to be a great player if he can stay healthy. I think Spencer Dinwiddie is a fringe all-star. Jared Allen is a center that they need. And Prince is an energy guy that they could always use, right? But the thing is, right, what Houston keeps saying is, no, we want an elite player. We want an all-star type of player to be included in a package for him. That's what they want. So they want pieces. They just don't want to play. They want pieces, and they want an elite player. So the Sixers do have an elite player. They have Ben Simmons if they decide to get rid of him, right, or trade him for that. You know, because everyone keeps saying the combo that Joel or James could have. You look at Ben Simmons and you look at James, they're both two ball-dominant players, right? So that may not work out, right? But see, here's the thing. What's going to happen with James is he's going to continue to get disgruntled because what's happening is Houston is saying, hey, we're going to try to make him happy. We're going to try to make this work. Now, if a player really wants to leave, he's going to leave. He's really going to leave. And the best way to leave is the more you complain, the more you do stuff, the trade value goes down. Now, I do not believe that the Sixers can get him without parting ways without Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. I don't believe that, right? I don't. But the longer you wait is maybe that, you know, everything becomes better. Like, the value can go down a little bit, right? Because let's face it, right now, as much as James Harden says he wants to leave at this particular time, Houston controls stuff because he has him under contract for 2 years, and then he has a player option for year three. So Houston controls what goes on. So Houston is going to, like, serve, like, they're not just going to give him up. You know, they're going to see what the best deal they get. But I'm here to tell you, the longer they wait, the more it's going to be problematic. And then that's when, if you're the Sixers, you can pounce in. Hey, something that you need to pounce in on is Built Bar, a protein bar. Oh my gosh. For y'all who know me, you know I love chocolate. And y'all who know me, you know I love this Built Bar. So what you need to do is do yourself a favor and go out there to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and get a discount on your next purchase. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. You hear me? You are going to love it. You know, that first segment, I want to thank you guys listening to it. It was brought to you by Built Bar. Here's the thing. Wherever you guys go and listen to and subscribe to podcasts, you can go subscribe to the Locked On podcast and the Locked On Sixers podcast specifically, right? Now, the one thing that I said before, this is the only podcast that comes to you that covers the Sixers 3 to 5 days a week in the offseason and 5 days a week during the offseason. Also, you can go to Enquirer.com to read my stories. As I said, I'm the 76ers beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can also follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers, P-O-M-P-E-Y on Sixers, and on Instagram at Pompey on Sixers, right? Now, the thing is, when you hear rhetoric coming out of the Sixers, and they're saying, well, you know, what we want to do is we want to evaluate how Ben and Joel could play together. We want to see that. You know, we're not in the rush right now. We want to see it. You know, word that I'm hearing that's coming out and is that, you know, it's one of those things where people are saying, like, hey, we have a great coaching staff. We have a Hall of Famer in Doc Rivers. We want to see if he can make it work. We want to see what he has to do with it because we feel like we have the two pieces that work. Now, again, I know that some people are, you know, some people were down on Brett Brown, but, like, the pieces just didn't fit. Now, I'm not just saying, I think that Joel and Ben can play together. I do. I honestly think Joel and Ben can play together. The problem is they just didn't have the shooters. Now, right now, unless they make some trades where they can bring in some shooters, I think that they're going to have problems. You know, but the reason why I keep saying James Harden is good It's because he's a shooter. He can shoot. He can shoot. He can also create space for Joel Embiid. Now, I don't know if James and Ben are a good match. You know, you never say never, but I just don't see that. But what I do see is that I understand what the Sixers are saying because they have to say that. You have to. You never go in. Like, there was one time where the Sixers had a general manager, a president of basketball ops, who came out, and Brian Colangelo, and came out and said, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to trade one of our bigs. We're going to trade one of our bigs. They had the hardest time trading them, right? They had the hardest. And then here's another thing. Like, you're not going to say that, and who knows, they may want to do that with Doc Rivers, what they're saying. But even if you don't, you don't want to say, hey, one of these guys are out, are available for a trade. They're in the market for a trade. So that guy is showing up, training camp. He doesn't feel ease. He's like saying, I'm one of the franchise players. You guys want to get rid of me. I mean, that's how you quickly destroy a relationship. So I understand that. You don't say that. But when they look at this roster and you look at the money, I'm talking about the buku money that these guys are making, right? Talking about Doc, talking about Daryl Morey, they know they got to make something happen. I mean, sitting back, you can say we're going to sit back and do this and do that. But right now, you look at this roster and you're saying, yes, you paid all this money. You got maxed out players. You have a coach that's one of the highest paid coaches in the league. You have a executive who's one of the highest paid executives in the league. And this roster is a sixth place roster. Nah, you got to make a move. You know, now again, they may say, all right, let's see what Brett Brown couldn't do. But to me, you have to know that you have to be in a conversation. Especially when you have a coach who has coached not just one, not just two, not just three, but several Hall of Famers. I mean, you know, like either they're in the Hall of Fame now or they're going to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he has a long list. And then an executive who's always was in the win now approach where he went out there and got elite players and like, you know, like perennial all NBA. See, there's a difference between an all-star and all NBA. Like, an all NBA is the best of the best. Like, these are, it's 15 spots. You have a first team, five, second team, third team. So there's a lot of all-stars who don't make all NBA. Right? Now, Ben Simmons made third-team All-NBA this year. Major feat for him. The last 2 years, this year, talking about this past season. The two seasons prior to that, Joel Embiid made second-team All-NBA. I mean, these are major accomplishments. And Daryl Morey has a knack for getting those type of guys. So you say to yourself, like, okay, if they have an opportunity to get someone like that. Now, who knows? Maybe James may not be the type of player that Doc, you know, coaches he feels like he went with. But what's the difference between James Harden and Tracy McGrady in Orlando? They both took a lot of shots, right? But then you saw Tracy McGrady, who and Yao Ming were a perfect fit in Houston. So those are things to think about. But again, I do think that it's best for them, like I said in the first segment, it may be best for them to not quite pull the trigger right now, because what's going to happen is James is going to get disgruntled, and then Houston is going to figure like, yo, this is disrupting the team. We got to do something. Like, honestly, we have to do something. So that is what I see happening in that scenario, or that's what I think should happen in that scenario. Don't do something at night. Do something a little later on, right? Hey, as I said before, this is the only podcast that comes to you 3 to 5 days a week in the off season. It comes to you 5 days a week during the season. You can also follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. You can also follow me on Instagram at Pompey on Sixers. I am the Philadelphia Inquirer's 76ers beat writer, so you could go to Inquirer.com. You could pick up a Philadelphia Daily News if you're in the Philadelphia area, or a Philadelphia Inquirer to read my stuff. Now, right now, this draft is, you know, some people say this may not be the best draft, right? That they're outside of the top players, you probably won't have a couple guys who will not maybe make major contributions to a team, maybe the Sixers. You know, I look at a guy, like I said, I've written about him, and you could go to the Inquirer and see it. Go to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Inquirer.com, and go to the Sixers page. And I wrote about Isaiah Joe, right? You know, Isaiah Joe is a guy that the Sixers are extremely huge on. You know, a lot of people around the league, you know, as we've mentioned, think that the Sixers promised him before Daryl Morey came, because there was a lot of questions on why did he leave the draft and why did he come back to the draft. And now all of a sudden he rises up to the up the draft boards. Now, I think maybe taking him at 21 might be a little steep. Maybe 34 is a better pick for him. But again, you can't say rule the Sixers out with taking somebody that high, because think about it. 2 years ago, Landry Shamet had a second round grade as a point guard. The Sixers basically drafted him, I believe it was 24 for 26 as a shooting guard. And he was phenomenal, so phenomenal that they had to include him in the deal to get Tobias Harris from the LA Clippers, right? So when you hear things like that, you say to yourself, like, okay, well, you know, if they did the research, then go do it. And as much as we criticize the Sixers for, you know, messing up draft picks, because Lord knows they messed up some in the process, you have to look at their late round picks, especially recently. When you look at Landry Shamet, you look at Shake Milton in the second round, you look at Matisse Thybulle. How did I forget Matisse's name? Like, come on now, Keith. And you look at Matisse Thybulle and Mario Shayok. Like, this guy can shoot. He just never got an opportunity. I mean, if he plays well and the Sixers think he could play, he could come in and be a shooter. Now, but when you look at all these guys and you look at what the Sixers are doing, you know, you say to yourself, like, hey, if you got faith in this guy, go ahead. But I still think that he could be around at 34. I do. I still think he could be around at 34. I think that right now you look at this team, they need some shooters. They do. Now, here's the thing with the Sixers. You may argue that, hey, you know, with getting the draft pick at 21 and you look at the cap space and you look at all the other things they have, that do the Sixers really want to add on that salary? Because they're already in the luxury tax hell, right? Do the Sixers want to add that salary? So that's something else to think about. But, you know, hey, tonight is going to be intriguing, because we're going to see what Daryl Morey does. You remember how Sam Hinkie was? Sam Hinkie was making a lot of moves. But at that time, the thing was different. Like, Sam Hinkie was acquiring guys who he could stash overseas and trying to see if they, you know, see if they could make it. You know, like a lot of second round guys, you know, projects, making trades, like selling picks. You know, that's what the Sixers typically do in the second round. They sell picks. So are they going to do the same thing? You know, so it's a lot of intrigue, a lot of things to pay attention to, you know, as this night approaches us, and we'll see. But hey, about this time tomorrow, you'll hear from me, and you know, we'll have a podcast, and we'll talk about the players, the players that were drafted, and what happened, what transpired. I want to thank you for listening. and have a blessed day. Peace.